Hola a todos. Hi, everyone. I am Carla Rodriguez, your coach and trainer of NLP and host of MetaFit MetaMind podcast, the place where we normalize the conversations between both physical and mental health. This is the place where you'll raise your voice and share your story. As your coach, I'm here to guide you to let go of all your limiting chains behind, and I'm on a mission to use this platform to empower and create awareness and expansion in your life. You can follow us on Instagram at MetaFit MetaMind Podcast, or you can follow me at Coach Carlita. Please rate, review, and subscribe on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Peinando las barbas del juncal.
Hey everyone, Carla here. So I'm really excited because this is episode 50 of the podcast. That's right, it is episode 50 already, and it's been a journey. It's been a journey to get here, challenges, stops, you know, all the things. But the cool thing is that I'm really excited for this episode because it's going to be with someone special in my heart, and I will give more info on that here in a little bit. But some updates that I've got going on, because I've got so many things, you know, everything just happening at the same time, is that, you know, for one, I've decided to create another weekend seminar, and that is Dare to Design Your Destiny, and that is February 4th through the 6th, which is so exciting, because I wasn't sure if I was going to do it. I wasn't sure what the next step was going to be. And I quickly realized that not a lot of people know how to set their goals and their intentions and take action on them, right? All these blocks, all these mindset things start to get in the way. And I said, you know what? F that. It's time for me to step up, because this has been my goal, and teach others how to do this. I've been, you know, working on that. I've been practicing it, creating the things. And now it's time to share it, because I believe that if I don't share it, what I know, then that's kind of selfish, right? It's better to share with the world, and that way we all start to be more united and more other things, right? The other thing that I'm excited about is that this is the start of the next phase of the podcast. That's right. So you'll listen as I bring in my guests and everything in these next few weeks. You'll realize how this is changing and expanding, because this podcast started so we can share our stories, our journeys, get to know each other, get to understand each other, and be inspired, yeah? And now it's time for us to get to know other cultures and other people, right? And what everybody is doing in order for everyone to grow and expand and figure that out on their with themselves, you know? Through guidance, through these stories, through inspiration, and through accountability as well. So I'm really, really excited about that, because this next phase is going to be really powerful with so many amazing speakers, authors, writers, trainers, coaches, friends, all the things. So stay tuned for every episode, because it's going to be really, really exciting. And as we are moving towards the end of the year, you know, I just am in this place of celebration still, because 2 weeks ago, I finished my first NLP certification training, in which I certified my new coaches as personal evolution coaches, as NLP coaches, you know, NLP practitioners. And it was such a powerful weekend. I'm still congratulating these women that took on the challenge, and they're doing something with this, learning to communicate better with themselves, letting crap go that does not serve them any longer, and continue on the journey, because this is the start. Once you start, you keep going, you keep going, you keep expanding, and you create the abundance, the wealth, the happiness, the joy, and all the other things that you want in life. So I don't know if you know this or not, but you can definitely sign up for my email newsletters, in which I post up and share updates, things that are going on, you know, anything that I'm creating. Most likely you'll be the first to hear it if you are signed up for the email newsletters. You can also join my MetaFit MetaMind community, in which I am growing it. You can be one of the founders of this community. Go to members.metafitmetamind.com, request to join, and let's grow it together, because there's going to be a lot of amazing content coming into that platform as well. So I'm really excited about that. And what else did I have for you? I think that's it for now as far as updates. And just the last thing, just As always, super grateful for all of you for listening to this episode. And remember to share the podcast with anyone that you think it would help. Rate it, review it, subscribe it, so you don't miss any of the updated episodes. Sign up for the emails. You won't miss them. I promise you. And remember, I'm on Apple Podcasts, Google, Spotify, CastBox, and all these other platforms that you listen on. So definitely catch me on one of those. And now on to the episode. So in this episode, I'm really excited to introduce you to this guest because he is special to me. He is my biggest challenger, my best friend. He is someone who's a leader in my eyes, and he is a leader, to be honest. He is someone who, honestly, he doesn't believe me when I tell him this. You know, someone always working for more, for growth, for abundance. He magnetizes the abundance, the growth, the attraction, the things he wants. It comes his way. It's not easy, of course. The way I see it, it comes to him as he says it, he receives it. And you know, as I said, he is a father, a leader, he's a prior USMC vet. You know, he's led his brothers to, you know, strive to do better. And he is also an engineer, civil engineering, and an artist. So y'all don't know this, but he actually gave me my first tattoo, so now you know. But yeah, he is someone who's very smart and artistic at the same time, and a challenger of things in order to make things better in life. So I'm not gonna, you know, toot his horn that much. But now I want you to listen to this episode, really enjoy it. And I hope you share it and it inspires some of you in order to grow and, you know, reach your success that you want. So now I get the pleasure of introducing you to my husband, Jose Jimenez. All right, so I am really, really excited today. This is episode 50, and the reason I am so excited because I have a very, very special guest with me here today on MetaFit MetaMind podcast. And this person, who I've already described, and you already heard who this is, his name is Jose Jimenez. So thanks, babe, for being here.
Thank you for having me.
And, you know, this podcast has been something that's been really special to me. It's already 2 years and something that I've had this going on, and I finally have you on, and I've been asking you, and you finally got the episode that you wanted. You asked me for episode 50, so here we are. This is the start of the new season, how everything is changing and everything is expanding with the podcast. So again, thanks for being here. I love. And the first thing that I'd love to ask you, is who is Jose Jimenez?
Who am I? I'm simple. I'm someone who grew up with an immigrant mother, hardworking woman, lover to death, and, you know, a lot of what I've learned and what I have lived my life with is the little tools she put in my little toolbox, the ideas that she put in my head. And thus far, it's working out great.
Yeah.
Yeah. But mainly, I'm someone who has drive, a lot of drive, someone who I hold myself very much accountable. I think accountability is very important. I don't try to play victim and victimize myself. I like to take accountability. And whenever I see that there's a problem in something I'm doing, I try to correct it.
Yeah.
I recognize it. I recognize the problem. Try to correct it, and rather than blaming others, pointing fingers, acting like I'm a victim, that's not me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I'm sure you haven't gotten here to this point just by being like, oh, look, from this get-go, I don't play this victim, right? Because you said it earlier, you said that you are the son of an immigrant mother who got here to the U.S., and I know her, of course, and I love her very much. If you're listening to this episode, Maria, we love you. And so I'd like to know your story or your journey on how you've gotten to this point in your life, you can summarize it as you will. Like, what is it that was a turning point for you that was that took you to this place of like being a successful, you know, engineer that you are, artist that you are, the creator that you are, the person who, in my words, manifests and makes things and gets things to happen. So what was that that led you to this point where you and I are here together now? Yeah, what was that journey like for you?
Well, you know, like I said, a lot of people like to play the victim. A lot of people think that because of the demographic they're surrounding or they're surrounded by, that they have no control of their life.
Mm-hmm.
And that is so untrue. That is very untrue. This is what I mean by I don't like to play victim. I don't like to give in to that, right? Everybody has control of their life. Some people know it more than others.
Yeah.
I'm that person who knew it more than others.
So how did you know it? What was it that got you to know it?
Right. So seeing my mom, how she works so hard, and one day she decided, I'm done moving around, working one job here, picking fruits, vegetables out in the fields as a young mother, going from Florida all the way to Washington, California, wherever the jobs were. One day she decided that she's going to stay in Austin and she's going to work, save up money, and stay there to give me and my brother George a better life.
Hmm.
I think that at one point she was tired of us jumping from one school to another school, very, very unstable.
How many times did she move before you've landed here?
I want to say that I can remember, I mean, we moved from Florida, California, Washington to Mexico, back up to Kentucky and Florida again, Kentucky again. It's hard to say. Maybe within my first 6 years of life, we must have moved like 20 times.
That's insane.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We were at low points where we were literally homeless. We were living out of a car. I wasn't, but a five-year-old.
So you do remember this?
I remember. Mm-hmm. I do. My little brother, George, he must have been 2 or 3, right? So, yeah. I guess my mom came to a turning point to see that. And after that, she wanted us to stay in one school. I guess she saw that in order for us to be successful and not live the life that she did, she wanted us to get an education. So for her, it was very important that we just stayed in one spot, went to one school, and she tried to just drill school into us so much, so much. Education, education, education. And really, she would put us in all sorts of after school programs for school. She made us go to summer school, even though we didn't have to. But it was also
voluntold.
Yeah, we were pretty much voluntold to go to summer school, and it was her also not having the capacity or capability of having us in daycare or any of that stuff. So school was the daycare for us, I guess.
Yeah.
Right? While she went to go work.
Those after school programs and like those activities and all of that.
And yeah, no, my mom, she worked multiple jobs. My mom never had a day off. She just worked, 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 worked. right? And I mean, I'm grateful. I'm grateful for that woman,
mm-hmm.
right? I'm grateful for her being such a hard worker. You know, it put a different outlook on life for me. I didn't grow up with a parent who I saw just watching TV sitting on their ass. Mm-hmm. No, I grew up with a mother who did not let me or my brother be lazy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she would bring the belt to the ass if it came down to it.
Mm-hmm.
She would discipline us and she would go to work.
Yeah.
Really proud of her and what she did, but she was the person to show me a little bit of those values in my younger years,
mm-hmm.
at least till I was 18, right? And that's what kind of drove me to be someone who I like to think of myself, someone who just keeps working at something, doesn't give up at it,
mm-hmm.
right? If I'm not good at something, it bothers me because I know that I'm capable of a lot. After that, you know, I had it in my mind, I'm not going to college because I don't have money for that. My mom does not have money for that.
Did you look for resources at that point, or y'all just, the school didn't offer them? Because I remember going back in high school, at least my school, they had a resource area where students would go to. And some students, for some reason, the belief came in that I can't go to college because there's no money. And I'm not going to, you know, put that on my parents. So how is it that that came up for you?
Right. So during the time, I'm not sure that I was even looking to go to college because mm-hmm. I didn't have the money for it. I knew that my mom wouldn't be able to pay college for me, especially with George being 2 years younger than me.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, if she did, she would be paying for 2 years and then she would have to pay his tuition too. I already knew there's no way she's going to pay college.
Yeah.
Right. So I didn't have that idea in my mind. In my mind, I also didn't know about student grants and loans and all these other programs that are out there to aid kids that want to go to college.
Mm-hmm.
Then again, it's a lot of debt. Even now, it's a lot of debt that young kids take on. And they think they're just going to another school and they take out massive student loans. And in the end, they end up with some liberal arts degree that they'll never use, you know? yeah. You know what I'm talking about.
He's talking about, I went to school, graduated with a French degree, got a liberal arts degree, essentially, and I probably used my degree maybe a few months and then that's it. And I mean, now I'm doing what I love. So it's kind of interesting how that happened. And, you know, I've got my take on it, but keep going.
Yeah. So, I didn't want to go the student loans route and whatnot. I found military as an option. I looked into it. I did look into the other branches and whatnot. But again, that drive in me, I wanted to be the best of the best.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I didn't join the Air Force, the Navy, the Army. I joined the Marines. I wanted the best of the best, right? Yeah, you know, I think a lot of what has made me successful to this day is the Marine Corps. It really is. A lot of the things I learned there, a lot of what I've learned from my leadership there,
mm-hmm.
The benefits I received afterwards,
yeah,
all that, I owe a lot of my success to being able to have joined and served this country.
Yeah.
I really do.
That's amazing. And so you went into the Marine Corps, so now you're a vet. But when you first went into the Marine Corps, from what I know, you left a day after graduation?
Yeah, so I actually graduated. I had signed my contract the previous year, around the September time.
Yeah.
And in 2006.
Yeah. How did you convince your mom to, was it something easy? Did she have a belief that, no, my son can't go? Or, like, what was that process?
Yeah,
like?
it was not easy at all. It was a very tough thing for her.
Mm-hmm.
It was kind of tough for me, too. But as a man, I was 17 at the time, but I'm making a commitment as a man at such a young age. A commitment that not very many people make.
Yeah, especially not the Marine Corps.
Yeah, especially not the Marine Corps. And really, it's not for everybody. And, you know, I remember I was already doing some research. I had already mentioned it to my mom. I was doing some research. It wasn't until one day I came up to her and I was like, hey, Ma, I've been doing all this whole time. I've been going to the pulley functions with the Marines, and I already did my ASVAB. Basically, it's a test that it's kind of like your SAT to go to college.
Yeah.
This one is just another exam that shows where you are
your competence.
On the SMART scale and what jobs you qualify for in the military.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I basically already had my contract drafted up, and I told her this is what I want to do. You know, I surprised her with it, and she told me, if this is what you want to do, I will support you, but I need you to promise me that you're going to go through with this all the way.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, yes, Ma. I am going to man up and own up to what I signed a contract on.
Mm-hmm.
So she signed it. That was big. It was huge. It meant a lot to me.
Because she was supporting you.
Right.
Yeah.
It showed a lot of support. Right. And she had to sign at 17 because I was 17. But I think she also kind of thought about it. And she said, well, he's going to sign the contract when he turns 18.
Mm-hmm.
I might as well just show that support now.
Yeah.
She did. And I was grateful for it. But yeah, 2007, I graduate on a Monday. That Thursday, I ship to boot camp. I get to California to MCRD San Diego. It's a Marine Corps recruit depot. And
was boot camp like... When you were there, because now I know how you describe it, but when you were there, would you say that that was like the hardest thing you had ever done up to that point?
Up to that point, it's...
Because I know because you've been an athlete for a long time anyway, so you already had the fitness down.
So as far as fitness and all that, I was always into sports, right? Mm-hmm. High school was track, football, boxing, you know, so I did all that.
Mm-hmm.
The physical part is not the hard part, or it wasn't, at least for me.
Not the way that it's been displayed on the videos that they show.
Yeah. A lot of what boot camp is hard is the mental part, right? The psychological part. So there's a lot of factors, right? You go from being this... free, I can get away with anything teenager to no, you cannot get away with anything.
Man.
Exactly. There are rules now.
Yeah.
Right. I know the military has changed a lot since 2007, but at the time we were still fighting in this world conflict in the Middle East. Mm-hmm. Right. I mean, nowadays, drone strikers can barely even touch you or even scream at you, right? And at the time, I actually got choked out and thrown into a footlocker by my drone instructor.
That's insane.
Yeah, and it's like, what can I do?
I know I'm going to get a lot of comments about that.
So I'm just going to be...
That's just his experience, y'all.
I'm just going to... At the time, I'm just like, I'm going to get up, you know, take it like a man, whatever. Mm-hmm. This is boot camp. Mm-hmm. It's supposed to be like that, right?
Did you know that it was supposed to be like that, or is just kind of something you adopted?
I kind of expected it, but didn't really expect it. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like I accepted it. Okay. I accepted it, and it's like whatever comes next,
you just took
whatever.
It on.
You know, we have to toughen up, especially for someone like me. I didn't join the Marine Corps to be some, you know, computer geek. Admin person. No, I joined the Marine Corps to be in the infantry. Mm-hmm. Infantry, it's something else, yeah. Right? So I definitely did not join the Marine Corps into a regular job where mm-hmm. you go in at probably like 8 in the morning and you're off of work. I did it.
Yeah.
My job was not even a job, it was a lifestyle. Being gotcha. In the Marine Corps infantry, it's a lifestyle.
Yeah.
Right? You learn a lot in boot camp. A lot.
You get a lot of schooling,
right?
A lot
of military, a lot of school. You do.
No chewing crayons?
No chewing crayons. That comes afterwards.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's when you're bored, yeah?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, no, you learn a lot. And you do learn the basic things that is going to basically, you know, make you and shape you into the Marine that the Marine Corps wants you to be for the next 4 years of your contract, right?
So they mold you.
They mold you. They mold mm-hmm. you. They mold you into learning what you need to know to, you know, survive that next phase of your
yeah.
Marine Corps career, per se, right? Yeah. But after boot camp, when you graduate and you're so proud of yourself, and like my mom that came to my graduation, she was so proud of me. I was so happy to see her and all that. You just look back and you're like, 3 months of boot camp? Like, that was nothing.
Hmm.
Right? And you think about it, it's like, man, that wasn't that bad.
You still have another 3 and something years.
Right? So then, yeah, it's like you that was just 3 months, right?
Yeah.
So then now you look forward to, you know, your school. I was looking forward to School of Infantry.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What was that like?
Yeah. I thought boot camp was hard at first. And I'm like, man, boot camp is so easy. In boot camp, you're guaranteed 3 meals a day. You know, except for the part where you do the crucible. But other than that, it's like, man, boot camp was easy.
Mm-hmm.
School of Infantry? No. Tough shit begins, right?
Okay. That's where the shitty part starts.
Yeah. And that was only like 2 months. After that, you go to your unit, you train with your unit, and now you're like, you know what? I got more sleep in boot camp, more sleep in SOI than I'm getting here. And then that's when you realize, like, yo, when you're training with your unit,
uh-huh.
you're on another level. You're definitely on another level. You're not a student anymore. Yeah. Now you have joined the elite in the Fleet Marine Force. And, you know, I went to First Battalion, 4th Marines, right there in California, and I got to Alpha Company. I was with them for 2 months or so. And I guess they needed snipers, right? So they run their indoctrination to select. It's a selection process. Mm-hmm. To select, Marines who think yeah. they got what you know.
Do you have to take a written test too for this, or just physical?
There is a lot of this indoctrination is a lot of physical. It's got physical challenges, like staying awake, really, you know, and being able to work sleep deprived, be able to perform sleep deprived, right? But it's like a whole week of just sleep deprivation and having to do land navigation and radio operating skills and all these things that if you tap out or you just can't perform, you won't be part of that selection.
Yeah.
Right. So I didn't want to do it. I heard all these stories about snipers. Snipers are crazy.
You just wanted the...
Yeah, I just wanted the chill, easy part. I already know the people in my platoon. I like those guys. I just want to stay here. Right? Well, my platoon basically, you know, said, nope, you're going. And a lot of it was because every morning for physical training, I would leave all those guys in the dust. Mm. They were not a challenge for me. Yeah. Physically, I had always been physically fit and everything. And even after boot camp and School of Infantry, even more fit, right? So, yeah. You know, I guess when they sent me, they're like, so he could do something
that's challenging
to tire him out and challenge him. Well, I did. You know, they tired me. It was a challenge.
You got challenged.
And I learned that that's the group of people I need to be with. Because I'm a person who likes to take on a challenge.
Yeah, you needed to be out of the comfort, right?
Yes, I needed to be out of the comfort zone. I needed to step out of there to be more than just your regular infantry guy, right? And it did. It made me extra. It really did.
Extra,
but
yeah.
I was surrounded by like-minded individuals who like challenges, who they were on another, you know, IQ level.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You can't, that's another thing. You can't even be in the platoon if you don't have a GT score high enough to go to sniper school. So basically, if you're dumb, you just can't join. You won't even be selected.
Yeah.
Right? So
you could be physically fit, but if you're not, if you don't have the intelligence, I guess.
Right.
Scores.
Yeah, exactly. Or the shooting scores or all that, right? So the selection process is not just like, oh, we just take anyone. No, that's not how it goes. There's a lot involved into it. And there's even an interview at the end of that indoctrination.
So you have to learn how to speak too.
Well, it's like going to a job interview, right? If you show up and you look like a bag of ass, and you, yeah, and you don't, you're not formal, you're not presentable, you're not professional, you're really not gonna get the part, right? Now, and a lot of people, they want to be in that position, they want to be a sniper. You know, there's this saying that everybody wants to be a sniper until it comes time to be a sniper. What that means is that everybody thinks it's cool and all, but when it comes down to being in shitty weather, cold, wet, miserable, hungry, right? It really sucks. It really sucks. But that's the life of a Marine sniper or a reconnaissance Marine, you know, all those guys.
Yeah.
So
you gotta just give it your all.
Yeah. You got to do extra, right? Yeah. But it's because you're also an extra individual.
You're extraordinary, for sure.
For sure.
And so you did the Marine Corps and everything. Did you go in there knowing that you were going to get out? Or did you have a different plan? Because now you're doing something completely different. You're definitely on a desk job.
Yeah.
You do use your brain. But did you go in there like, okay, I'm going to be a Marine because then I'm going to go and be an engineer? Like, was that your original plan? Or?
So in high school, not only was I an athlete, I was also a little bit of a nerd. I used to do a lot of robotics and things like that. So I had it in my mind that I wanted to be an engineer.
Mm-hmm.
I had it in my mind that I'm going to join the military and have educational benefits mm-hmm. afterwards
mm-hmm.
to be an engineer. But life changes, your ideas change as you grow older and you meet new people, you experience new leadership, things like that, right?
Yeah.
So after boot camp, I was pretty set on re-enlisting and staying in the Marine Corps and becoming a drill instructor. I was pretty set on that. I wanted to be a drill instructor. I was like,
that's a new one
man,
for me.
I get to make Marines.
Yeah.
Right? I was
you wanted
like,
to yell at them.
I looked up so much at my drill instructors, especially my kill hats. Mm-hmm. Those are the guys that they are the meanest dudes walking on base, right? That's the one guy who choked me out and threw me into a footlocker. He was my kill hat. I looked up to him. Yeah.
What about him did you look up to? Like, what was it about him that you, like, saw as, like, whoa, this guy's a badass? Like, what about him was that was, like, that's who I want to be? Because normally I always talk about modeling excellence and, you know, we follow the people who we really, like, look up to. So what was it about him?
So they wear their uniform, like, I think it's like every Friday or something, they wear their uniform with their badges and medals. And I noticed that he had a Purple Heart. And I asked him about it. So he, before him being a drill instructor, he was also an infantry rifleman. And I saw that he had a Purple Heart. I asked him about it, and he said that he lost a finger, and they gave him a Purple Heart for it.
Oh.
And he said, I don't think that I should have got it. It was only a finger. It's like, I have buddies who lost more than that.
Yeah.
And to me, it's like, man, this guy's just, he walked with a demeanor
mm-hmm.
bigger than the size of himself.
Yeah, you could see the glow.
Yes,
or the
you could see steam coming out of his forehead when you when you saw him pissed.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that it was, you felt like you were gonna die.
Shoot. Yeah,
and many a times I felt like he was gonna kill me.
Oh,
yeah. So, but he was. I wanted to be something like that.
Yeah.
Right. So I looked up to my drill instructors, right?
I wonder if he'll ever hear this episode.
So, yeah, no, I would hope he did.
Shout out to your kill hat. I don't know his name.
Ramshi, if you ever listen to this, I'm talking about you. I don't know what your rank is anymore, but yeah, thanks for everything. And that foot locker, yeah, that... It tasted really good in my mouth. So.
Oh my god!
He was tough, right?
Yeah.
But hey, it's boot camp.
Yeah.
Right.
And so
separating the men from the boys.
Yeah, and you got deployed twice.
I did.
What was it that the first thing that went through your mind when you did get, like, when they said, "Hey, you're going here the first time," like, what went through your mind, through your body? Like, yeah, what was that first thing for you?
Well,
that's a whole nother, like,
yeah, so
like freaking chapter in people's lives that, you know, people talk about getting deployed, but as me, who you know, you always say civilians, Like, we don't ever know. We see videos, we see news things, we see horrible things happen, right? But we don't really know what that is or what crosses people's minds. I've heard people say, like, I've never, like, some of the people that I've met through you, you know, they've never been deployed and they want to get deployed, but you actually have been deployed. So what was that processing for you?
So, yeah, like I was saying, you know, after the boot camp, you go to School of Infantry, and after that, I wanted to be a combat instructor, because now I looked up to my, you know, combat instructors, whom they had already been there and seen that. So a lot of what they stress to you is that you're going to get deployed.
Oh, okay.
Everyone in this class is 100% going to get deployed, and you're going to go overseas. And when you go overseas, you're going to see combat.
And this is in rifle school.
This is in infantry school.
Infantry school, sorry.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So you start to get ready and process a lot of those thoughts or questions that you have in your mind about being a Marine deployed in combat. And you start to adjust and adapt to the idea during that time. Right? When you get to your unit, now you're hanging around with guys who you just got to your unit. Well, guess what? You get to a unit with that a lot of their guys, they just finished their contract and they're on their way out. We are on our way in. So you have those guys that were junior the year before, but now they're senior and they just got back from a combat deployment. Now they're training you. So they now you're surrounded by a bunch of guys who now have experience in their overseas deployment. Now the idea becomes even more real, right? So I think you're kind of easing into it, right? Boot camp's all about, oh, learning how to be a little warrior, whatnot, but it doesn't really make you a warrior. It doesn't, right? It makes you a Marine, right? Teaches you very basic, all-around kind of stuff, right? But who can be a warrior in 3 months?
Yeah.
Right? Exactly. Yeah. 2 months of infantry school, like, okay, I mean, now you did 2 months straight of nothing but training with weapons, right? But even then, it makes you a basic,
like, the infantry fundamentals.
Rifleman. Exactly.
Yeah, you have the fundamentals,
right? Mm-hmm. It's not until you get to your unit and you work with them for, I don't even know how long our workup was, but then we got deployed, and you can't get any experience that will prepare you for it. Mm-hmm. You really can't. One day, next thing you know, you're already out there. And that's when it hits you, right? And that's when you start thinking about it, right? At first, I think that I was more aware. I was looking for any threat and everything, right? But then you start becoming a little complacent.
Would you say, like, hyper aware? Like,
yeah, no, very, was it very out of, hyper aware.
What is this, out of fear? Or what was this, like, what was...
Just trying to prepare for the worst, really, right? But I'm pretty sure somewhere after my first deployment, I think I was pretty set on just getting out after my first deployment.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
Like, while you were there, like, you said, you know what? I don't want to do this.
Not while I was there. Oh, okay. After coming back.
Oh, okay.
After coming back, you know, it was just a lot of things in my platoon or every... I think the whole Marine Corps as a whole that I just didn't really agree with. a lot of changes that were going on that I just didn't agree with. I was like, okay, I'm pretty much kind of done around here, right?
Yeah.
It started to get to the point where, like, we were banning stuff that just didn't make sense, that had nothing to do with me and my performance in my job. And therefore, I was pretty much set on I'm going to get out. But yeah. I have one more deployment left before I could get out. During that time, George, my brother, had also joined. He went to boot camp. SOI, same steps. Then he got deployed to Afghanistan.
You got deployed to Iraq, right?
Yes. My first deployment, I got deployed to Iraq. On my second deployment, he left to Afghanistan a week before I deployed. So I deployed and he was in Afghanistan. During that time, I just, you know, a lot of the crazy stuff that was going on in Afghanistan and a lot of the stuff that he went through, I almost had it in my mind that if anything happens to my brother, like, I would re-enlist and, you know, I would just basically, it would be vengeance, right? So I had
George, that George made it back, by the way.
The what?
I'm just pointing it out. George is back, home and safe.
Yes.
So.
So, yes, he is. He made it back safe. I ended up deciding that the Marine Corps wasn't for me, for me to stay or try to make a career out of it. I thought about it. I did think about staying, re-enlisting. It was a choice that was hard to do, but I had it in my mind, like, I have all these educational benefits. I can go back home to Texas, go to college, get an education, do something else. There has to be more than what I know here.
Yeah.
Right? It was a big move. I kind of thought about the fact that if I do stay for 4 more years, by the time I get out, or by the time I finish that contract, I would have done 8 years. You know, that's another 4 years gone out of my life. And, it, you know, if I wanted to get out then, you know, but I think that my last or my second deployment, last deployment, whatever, that kind of definitely put it in my mind that I'm not staying around for things that don't make sense, right?
Yeah.
A lot of stuff that doesn't make sense. A lot of the ideology and things like that of the leadership and even some of my peers, right, that I just didn't agree with. And I was like, yeah, you can go ahead and live that life.
Yeah, and the way that you're making it sound right now may seem like it's a lot of, like, not great things. But would you say overall, like, you enjoyed your Marine Corps experience, though? Like, you know, lifelong friends, like, you know, overall, like, for you, was that something needed? Would you say that that was something that was essential or that was supposed to happen in your life?
I would say yes. And, it, or, I mean, let me put it to you this way. I would do it all over again if I went back.
Yeah.
And if you took me back 100 more times, I would do it all over again.
Yeah.
Some of the best men I know, I met in the Marine Corps. My bestest friend, Joshua Michael Tefko, a.k.a. JTZ.
Give all his info out now.
Yeah. He's like my brother.
Yeah.
That's where I met that guy. Such a great guy. Such a great guy. And, you know, yeah, I would not, I would not take that decision back.
Yeah. So now you're engineering and, you know, pursuing your art as well. And, you know, part of this process and us sharing our journeys and our stories, right, is to hopefully inspire somebody to keep going and to, you know, it goes into those places that aren't so easy. So through your experience, right, through life, because you've come from this, like your mom working so hard, you know, having to come from living in a car to moving all over the place to finally settling in Austin to Marine Corps life to all those things. In your own personal experience, what has been your correlation, or in your take, what is the correlation between mental health and physical health, and how has that been a part of your journey? Because as people who come from the military, there's a lot of, you know, hard, you know, when the transition of getting out, and even Marines or other military members who stay in, and all the experiences, the crappy experiences you've been deployed, like, what is that correlation for you, and how have you found that balance?
So, balance, that's a tricky one. Balance is something you just got to keep working at it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't think you can ever find perfect balance. I mean, if someone has, please tell me what you did to do that, because I still haven't found that perfect balance. I think it's something I work at every day. Mentally, again, my experiences is what gets me through the day every day,
mm-hmm.
right? The not being a quitter, being a hard worker, per se, just, you know, like Joe Dirt would say, keep on keeping on. And, you know, I'm that individual that I like to just, I'm not afraid of taking on a challenge.
Yeah.
I'm not. And that, to me, it gives me this confidence where I set realistic goals, but I set goals for myself. Not afraid of taking on these goals, right?
Mm-hmm.
And again, the experiences and everything I learned in my life,
mm-hmm.
I'm not a person who I feel like, oh, I'm not good enough, or oh, I can't do this.
Mm-hmm.
That's not me. You know, that's victim mentality.
Yeah.
Victim mentality. They blame all sorts of external factors as to why they cannot,
mm-hmm.
you know,
yeah.
go and do more, right?
Yeah.
And
so what is that? Well, keep going. I'll ask you here in a second.
And I don't let those things hold me back,
mm-hmm.
or crush me down, because when I hear people victimize themselves as to why they can't or they won't, to me it's like, how can me, coming from an immigrant parent, having lived homeless as a little boy, right? How did I go from that to all my accomplishments to now working at a great civil engineering firm, making way over $120,000 a year?
That's amazing.
Just on that alone.
Mm-hmm.
That's not even all the other incomes I have.
Yeah.
Just on that alone, to me, I seriously cannot see how people victimize themselves.
So let me re-ask
and
my
make
question.
Excuses. They make excuses.
So what is that correlation between mental health and physical health? based on your experience. Like, let's say mentally something was up in your mind that wasn't so great. How was that affecting your body or vice versa?
I can't really correlate how my mindset affects my body. It doesn't. Or how my body physically affects my mindset. You know, I feel that I'm capable of doing something and I do it.
Mm-hmm.
I have a very strong mind. I'm not someone who's negative.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not pessimistic about stuff. I'm very optimistic
mm-hmm.
about a lot of things. But that being said, I am very, very real. I think very logical. I'm very realistic about things.
Yeah.
A lot of people, they don't know where to draw that line about being optimistic. And they set goals that are too high.
Mm-hmm.
I do believe that there's goals that are too high. Right? There's people who don't. They just say, I can do it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, good luck, buddy. You don't even have a plan and you're already saying that you can do it.
Mm-hmm.
Good luck with that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a person who says, that's a very realistic goal. I have a plan. I can do it.
Mm-hmm.
I might set the bar a little lower, but I will set a bar high enough to where it's still realistic. You know, I had someone I know who said, in 3 months, I'm going to make $20,000 a month. And I'm like, you don't even have a plan. Good luck with that, right?
Mm-hmm.
And this person came around to, you know, that third month. And I was like, where's the $20,000? Didn't have it.
Yeah.
It's like, you didn't have a plan. You just shouted out a goal, not even thinking about it.
Mm-hmm.
I made a similar goal. Lower than that. And I accomplished it within the first 3 quarters of a year.
So would you say that because you have a mind, a strong mind, your body doesn't react to certain situations? Because the way that I've experienced it and just my line of work, babe, you know, I'm coaching and I guide people through trauma, releasing trauma and a whole bunch of other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And even with me, so I'm very, in case y'all are wondering, I'm very opposite to my husband. I'm actually one of those that does set high goals, and I'm a dreamer for sure. And I will always continue to have a mindset around, yeah, I can do it now, because I've come from a place that I used to think that I couldn't do it. And so the people that I help, the people that I coach, the people that I guide, a lot of their physical ailments that they have, they've come from past experiences of trauma. And the moment that we work on that stuff in their body, and if, for those of you that haven't read this, read The Body Keeps the Score. It is an amazing book. It talks about trauma survivors, PTSD experiences, how everything stays in the body. So just my question to you, love, is because you have a strong mind, your body doesn't react to situations because you have a tendency of saying, you know what, I'm gonna make it happen.
Yeah. And that's kind of half true, right? Everybody's gonna have some sort of physical reaction depending on their state of mind, mm-hmm. right? But at the end of the day, you have to make a decision.
Mm-hmm.
Do I just roll over and die?
You're all free from that, please.
Or do I, you know, keep on keeping on,
mm-hmm.
right? Do I take this fall and learn from it and learn to beat it? How do I excel above it next time? It's always what you do afterwards that matters.
Okay.
That's what really matters. What you do afterwards. You can face any challenge. You might be able to, you know, get things right on your first try. Or you might fall in a hole on your first try. But you know what? None of that matters, because what matters is what you do afterwards. Do you decide to give up?
Mm-hmm.
Or do you decide to take that challenge
mm-hmm.
again and excel at it?
Yeah. Yeah. So thanks for giving me that input. And I know, because I know you, I asked these like deeper questions. So something that I wanted to ask you was, if someone came to you and they wanted to learn one thing from you, and you've said a lot of amazing things up to now, by the way, and some of the things y'all may not agree with, and that's okay. This is who he is. You know, here we are open to any conversation that needs to be had. This is where we do have those uncomfortable conversations, because going into that uncomfort place, you know, then we go to a new place of growth and development and whatever. So if somebody wanted to learn one thing from you, a younger person, a younger version of you, and they said, hey, Jose, what is one thing you can teach me that can help me to get to a successful place, or maybe entrepreneurship, or to be an engineer, or whatever that is? If they wanted to learn one thing, what would that be?
Yeah, I would teach people how to get more luck on their side.
I like that. That's an interesting conversation.
One of the greatest presidents that the U.S. had has a quote. And he says, I found that the harder I work, the luckier I get. He makes his own luck. And that's something I would want to leave to the people. Make your own luck.
Mm-hmm. I like it. Now, that would be an interesting conversation for another podcast episode. That's amazing. And let me ask you another, maybe last questions. Is, what are you excited about? What do you have coming up for you that you're like looking forward to, or like a goal that you've set for yourself?
Yeah, so I'm starting to get back into my art. Tattooing. I was tattooing in college. I kind of put a hold on that to pursue my career in engineering. I am just now getting back into my art. By end of this year, I do hope to have a few drawings out there. Have done my first tattoo by then, which is going to be super easy. I already have a lineup. But for next year, I want at least one client every month.
Heck yeah. So those of you that are in Austin or want to fly to Austin, Texas, definitely check us out. I will put his Instagram handle in the show notes and, you know, all his art that he shares, you know, definitely keep up, because there's some amazing things happening here, y'all. And what would you say now that you followed the career path you wanted, and now you're following the passion and the art that you've always loved? What is that like for you?
It's kind of weird, you know, because I work so hard to build this career in engineering, to come to find out that at the end of the day, I didn't do it for that career. I did it to be financially free to do what I enjoy to do, which is art and tattooing.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, sometimes we got to take a little detour to go and do the things that we want in life, and, you know, keep going. Como dices, keep on keeping on.
Keep on keeping on.
Yeah. And I am so grateful to you, love, Jose, for being here. I gave you episode 50. I hope you're happy about being on episode 50, because this is the beginning of the new etapa. For some reason, the word slipped in English. And keep listening, y'all. I'm really happy. And so thanks for being here, love.
Yeah, no, thank you for having me. And again, I did episode 50 with the condition of being on episode 69 and also episode 100.
So stay tuned, y'all, for two more episodes with Jose Jimenez, the amazing, greatest, my challenger. that always continues to make me better in some sort of way. And, you know, keep up, y'all. I'll be sharing those links in the show notes. And if y'all have any questions or y'all literally want to see some of his work, if you want to get tattooed, reach out to me. You can send me a message and I will connect both of you. So thank you so much. To be honest, my husband is very outspoken, is not afraid to say how it is needed to be said. He just says it the way he wants to say it, you know, and I truly, truly respect that. It's one of his leadership gifts he's got. But I will say that I'm so happy with the conversation with him and his story, and I'm glad y'all get to hear his story, because I've cried several times when he shared other chapters in that story. So, you know, I'm just happy that y'all get to listen to it now. So here's a few things that I learned, you know, and I've learned these things from him, and I hope some of you can take some of these as well. There are times that as kids, we see our parents go through hardships, and that doesn't necessarily mean we have to take on that hardship life, right? You can always create the life and live the life you want as long as you keep on keeping on. Right, he talked about victim mentality. I sometimes talk about the scarcity cycle, the scarcity mindset, right? When we can turn that around and think, how can I make this happen? How can I create what I want? How can I go and live that life that I truly, truly want? That is how you keep on keeping on, right? And as I said, you can create a life full of luck. You just gotta do the work, right? Work for it, because eventually it gets easier, and then you just feel like you've just gotten lucky because things just start to come to you. You start to magnetize those things that you've always wanted. And finally, I would say, find your models of excellence. Figure out how they did it so you don't have to recreate the path, and you can follow that success to make one of your own. He's followed some of his military mentors, his drill instructors, right? All of these amazing people. And also even in his engineering world, and now doing the art, right? Modeling people that he really admires. And that's what you have to do. I model after people that I admire, who I quote unquote want to be like when I grow up. So when you find someone like that, definitely, definitely ask them questions. Figure out what they're doing. Figure out what they're reading. Figure out how they wake up, what they read, and all of those other things. So just a few last things. Stay tuned, y'all, to keep up with my page to find out Jose's Instagram handle when he starts to, you know, add his tattoo page, show off his art. I will keep y'all updated, and I will continue to update the show notes as well. Remember that February 4th through the 6th, 2022, Dare to Design Your Destiny is happening. It's coming here live to Austin, Texas. Come learn to communicate, to create your goals, to create that life that you've always desired, right? Take that dare on you so you can go and create more, leave a legacy, and just do more for you. So get out of your comfort bubble. And right now there is early bird pricing. So between now and December 24th, right, of 2021, you're going to get this workshop for $197. So instead of the $297 that it would normally be, it'll be $197 between now and Christmas. So take action, you know, get out of your environment, come see me here in Austin, because it is going to be an amazing, amazing workshop. So do it for you. So if you haven't done so already, remember to rate, review, and subscribe the podcast so I can show up on the platform so more people can hear these stories, these amazing people that come on to the podcast episodes, you know. Don't forget to follow me on Instagram, on MetaFit MetaMind Podcast, on Facebook. Go visit the website, metafitmetamind.com. And also, I've created the free MetaFit MetaMind community, right? So the link is in the show notes. Go and add yourself to the group. It's amazing. Become one of the first founders of the group, because it's going to be really amazing to all the things that are being created in there. So thank you so much for listening up to this point. It was a little bit of a longer episode, but it was an important one. Episode 50, y'all. This is the beginning of even more expansion. So we learn from other people. So thanks for listening up to this point. I am Carla Rodriguez. This is MetaFit MetaMind Podcast, where we are normalizing conversations that we would have never had. Until next time.